Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. For the 19th of January, I'm Paul White. Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says this, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." The companion to this is Acts chapter 15, where Paul and Barnabas, Titus, several others, travel back into Jerusalem. They have what we call the Council of Jerusalem to solve this issue. Should Gentile Christians be circumcised in order to be considered a part of the family? Paul will spend much of Galatians fighting against this argument. But if you want to see it being played out, then you look at Acts 15 on up into Acts 16. I think a lot of the events that you're seeing here, the end of Galatians 1, the beginning of Galatians 2, are taking place in the middle of the book of Acts. And it's interesting that about a third of the book of Galatians is concentrated on what would have took about a chapter in the book of Acts. But this is Paul giving his version of the events, his side of the story, and says that Titus, who was with him, was not compelled to be circumcised. I've read some commentators who say Paul refused to allow Titus to be circumcised. I personally don't see that in the text. It doesn't appear to me that Paul says anything to Titus like, oh, you're not going to get circumcised. It seems to me that Titus makes a choice not to be circumcised. The choice is his to make. He makes it. And Paul, of course, I think is happy and honors it because Paul doesn't believe you need to be circumcised in order to be righteous. When you get down into Acts 16, however, you start to see, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's take our time for a moment. Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas decide to remain in Antioch and teach and preach in Acts 15:35. Okay, the council in Jerusalem is over. So they are in Antioch. Flash back to Galatians 2, verse 11. Peter came to Antioch. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now, we'll get into why Paul rebukes Peter in a coming podcast. But just for purposes of today and our chronological journey through this Acts 15 and Galatians 2, these parallel passages, Peter comes to Antioch in Galatians 2:11. I think that happens in Acts 15:35. Paul and Barnabas remain in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. Somewhere in that moment, Peter comes down from Jerusalem and visits with Paul. They get in this huge conflict because James comes down as well. I don't know why, after the council in Jerusalem, James and Peter both decide to come follow the ministry of Paul for a little bit. I have my own theory there. I don't even know if I want to share it. Suffice to say this, I'm not sure that Paul's completely trusted yet. Okay? And that I won't go any further than that. But, and I'm not justifying that or downing that. 36, Acts 15:36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit our brethren in every city where we've preached." Barnabas wants to take John called Mark. Paul insists they don't take him. Paul and Barnabas get into a rift at the end of Acts 15, and they split. In Galatians 2, when Peter comes down from Antioch, this circumcision battle is still so big that, verse 13, even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. So Barnabas even buys in, possibly gets circumcised, or at least believes their message for a little while. I think that's the real source of their rift in Acts 15. Acts 15 says they split because Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Paul says no, and they go their separate ways. But in Paul's version of it in Acts 2, Barnabas buys in to the Judaizers. And I don't think Paul wants anything to do with that. Now that leads us to a very, very contentious moment in the life of the Apostle Paul and in the scriptures, both in the book of Acts and Galatians. In Galatians 2:3, Titus is not compelled, even though he's a Gentile, he's not compelled to be circumcised. And yet, in Acts 16, verse 1, he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there named Timothy, son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. This is Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. I don't know if you caught that. Paul has Timothy circumcised to please the Jews. Why does Paul not mention this in Galatians 2? That's been the source of a lot of debate among Bible scholars. Let me lay out for you possible scenarios. Scenario number one, Paul has Timothy circumcised because the contention among the Jews in the area is so great that it's getting violent, and Paul decides it's easier to lose that battle and circumcise Timothy, basically just teaching him, look, it doesn't mean anything, and move on. If that's true, that is rank hypocrisy. The same kind of hypocrisy that Paul in Galatians 2:13 says Peter is guilty of, playing the hypocrite. Another possibility is that Paul does this after he writes the book of Galatians, that Paul is living in between Acts 15 and Acts 16, when he has the Peter confrontation. He writes the letters to the churches of Galatia, and then the events of Acts 16 are considerably later, and Paul has some sort of change of heart about the circumcision argument. If that be the case, it's really hard to take Paul serious at the end of the book of Galatians when he so adamantly preaches about circumcision and then apparently has a change of heart, so should we believe him at all? And then there's another option. And this is the one that I personally think happens. I think Paul waffles. I think he acquiesces to the arguments of his Judaizing friends. I think he circumcises Timothy, even though he knows better. I think he probably felt bad about it. I think he felt bad enough about it that he doesn't even mention it in the book of Galatians, although we could be between the two events. There could be some truth to that. And I think it sparks possibly how mad he is about circumcision late in the book of Galatians. What I wish, if that's true, is that Paul had apologized. I wish somewhere in the book of Galatians he had said, you know, I had Timothy circumcised and I really regret doing that. He doesn't. We never hear from Paul on this matter. If Galatians existed in a vacuum, you would think that Paul was adamant, very bold to your face, stood up to his superiors, had this set of convictions that he never wavered from. But Galatians does not exist in a vacuum. It exists as this parallel to the things happening in the book of Acts. And based upon the Paul of the book of Acts, who not only circumcises Timothy in Acts chapter 16, but also goes in with a group of Jewish men and has them purified using Mosaic purification in Acts 21 so he can please James, it shows us that the Paul that is so bold and brazen in the book of Galatians is not always so bold and brazen. In fact, that Paul is a bit of a waffler. And it could be the very thorn in the flesh that Paul complains about in the Corinthian letter. That Paul has a problem. That at times he needs the approval of those around him so badly that he actually surrender his own convictions at the altar of acceptance by his peers. I'm not making an accusation. I'm simply throwing out a possibility. That's all that we have time for today. We'll get deeper into Galatians 2 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.